The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. The Pittsburgh Steelers held a joint practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Acrisure Stadium today. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason action on Saturday, and it's going to look very, very similar to preseason game number one against Jacksonville. Pretty much the same guys will not play, Aaron Rodgers included. Right now, we head out to the phones and we check in with Chris Halleck of DK Pittsburgh Sports, who covers the Steelers. I have to get this out of the way first, Chris. Way back in the day, you and me and a couple of other buffoons had a Steelers blog trying to make our way, and here I am on The Fan, and here you are covering the Steelers each day, getting paid for it for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Pretty darn cool to have you on the show, man, and thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's really cool to you know, be doing this for a living, but I feel like we're both pretty darn good at our jobs, too, so let's do this thing.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on. So, again, it's weird, obviously, because with closed practice today, you guys could only report on things that people acknowledged happened. Pat Freiermuth acknowledged that the offense of the Steelers beat the Buccaneers 6-1 in 7 shots. As much as you can, man, like, let's dive into it. This offense seems to have been, the Steelers offense seems to have been coming along, at least chemistry wise, and especially between Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it's definitely heading in the right direction. Nothing is going to be perfect here in the middle of August with 2 preseason games left to go. What you want to see is you want to see improvement, you know, in the process. You know, so much of what fans get riled up over during this time of year are results. You know, they hear, you know, the starting offense, you know, Aaron Rodgers is throwing interceptions in the 2-minute drill, and he might, you know, he threw an interception on the very first pass of training camp. Results don't matter this time of year. It's all about the process. It's all about the timing between Rodgers and the receivers, specifically with DK Metcalf and how that's going to work, because, you know, well, they're paying DK Metcalf a lot of money, and so they need him to be productive, and they need the guy who's going to be the one slinging the football around the yard to get him the ball consistently, and that connection is going to matter. But eventually, during the process, you do want to eventually see that coalesce into something like today, which Pat Freiermuth said, with 7 shots going their way, 6-1. You know, that's a really good thing. But also, you know, they didn't get it. Pat Freiermuth also said they didn't get a first down in 2-minute drill. So there are still things to work on, as would be expected, here in mid-August, but I do think the offense is at least heading in the right direction.
Non-practice related, Andy Weidel, assistant GM, got to talk today, and obviously his fingerprints are all over the draft and the Steelers' draft preparation year in and year out. It's no secret that the 2026 draft is something that a lot of people are keeping their eyes on, especially for a quarterback. What did Andy get into talking about, you know, draft prep for 2026 and how they perceive the 2026 draft class? I know it's a long ways away, but obviously the Steelers will probably have a need at quarterback at that time, and a lot of people are keeping their eyes on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Andy didn't want to dive too much into next year's draft class because, well, there's a whole college football season to be played between now and then. Like, for example, like last year, everybody thought Carson Beck was going to be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. Well, he didn't even come out of the class, you know, so you never know what's going to happen. And so that's probably one of the reasons why Andy didn't want to dive too much into it. But he definitely said that, you know, there will likely be at least more quarterbacks available. But he really stressed the work done to acquire the number of picks that they're going to have, which right now they're projected to have 12. Obviously getting the extra third round pick in the George Pickens trade. And then through the compensatory formula, they should get 4 more, which would give them another third because, you know, with Dan Moore signing with the Titans. Mm-hmm. So right now they have 3 third round picks, 2 fourth round picks, 2 fifth round picks. You know, they're going to be, you know, when you have that kind of draft capital, it gives you a whole bunch of flexibility for what you can do, whether you want to use all 12 picks on 12 different players, or you want to be able to use some of that to be able to move up, go get your quarterback, go get whoever you want to go get. And so it's always good to have that kind of stuff. And that's really the stuff that Andy really stressed today.
That's DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers beat writer Chris Halleck on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Andy Weidel has also kind of been tasked, Chris, with revamping the Steelers' offensive line. What did he get into about Broderick Jones and his progress?
Andy and then everybody else that I've talked to on the inside, and I've reported this on our app on DK Pittsburgh Sports as well, they continue to have faith in Broderick Jones. He is now playing the position they drafted him to play. I know a lot is made about that. You know, the fans make a lot about Broderick play the right side. He's been playing the wrong side for 2 years. Well, now he's playing the left side. You know, he's moved over to where they drafted him to play, and they continue to have faith in the guy. You know, that they, and I think, you know, so far you're starting to see why. The athleticism is there. The movement ability is there. There's still some work to be done. You know, reviewing the film from Jacksonville, there are still some things that he's going to have to work through to get better at, obviously. But they still have a lot of faith in the guy. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means that he's a lock to have his fifth-year option picked up next May. But this is a pretty big year for Broderick Jones. And again, we've been reporting this on DK Pittsburgh Sports for a while. It's a do-or-die year, sink or swim type of year for Broderick Jones. He has to do a lot of proving people wrong in terms of any kind of skepticism this year. And that includes some people on the inside. So it's going to be a really crucial year for him.
As far as the preseason and the way it's structured goes, obviously the Steelers and Mike Tomlin said today that it seems like none of the guys that didn't play against Jacksonville, they're not going to play against Tampa Bay on Saturday either. Do we get the sense that we're going to really get like a quote-unquote dress rehearsal out of the Steelers? Are we going to see Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf at all in the preseason, maybe in the final one? It's one of those things for me, I just haven't quite been able to figure out like how teams navigate that strategy with three preseason games instead of four, because it seemed like the third of four was always the one where you'd see the ones the most. Now it's just, it kind of seems like it depends on how each team attacks it.
I think the big thing about this, and I asked Mike Tomlin about it today at his press conference, is that the game has evolved so much when it comes to how the preseason is handled. Obviously, going from four preseason games down to three changes the way you handle it, but then there are certain restrictions, and then there's preserving players' health, and you know it's a lot different when you have a 24-year-old quarterback versus a 41-year-old quarterback in terms of how you want to make sure that he can like handle him so that he can be ready and be as healthy as possible for the season. The one thing that, from talking with different people about this is, listen, the preseason, what you see there can be very, very fickle. And if anybody didn't learn their lesson from the Kenny Pickett perfect passer rating from a couple of years ago, then like that's like the epitome of don't take any stock in what you see, because what offenses do, what defenses do, it's very vanilla. It's a very small portion of the playbook. They're not tipping their hand on anything they're really going to be doing in the regular season. And that's why these joint practices that happen today have much more value, because they can work on the kind of things that they want to do in the regular season without the entire nation having access to not only watching it live, but also having access to NFL Plus accounts and having all 22 access to be able to sit back there and watch film on the kind of stuff that they're going to be doing in the regular season. So the preseason, really, it can be very, very fickle one way or another, whether a team goes 3-0 or 0-3. Again, it's just, I don't think it's as necessary as it used to be based off of just the way that teams are just kind of almost treating the preseason as like it just doesn't have the same importance that it used to.
With that too, Chris, and we're talking to Chris Alex, Steelers beat writer for DK Pittsburgh Sports, do we get the sense that the quarterbacks will kind of be evenly distributed kind of the same way that they were last week with how Rudolph and Thompson played? And if that, kind of a two-parter here, what's the latest on Will Howard?
He wasn't even like out there today dressed or anything. I don't anticipate him playing Saturday. To see the quick turnaround to see if he can play next Thursday also just seems really far-fetched to me, but who knows? Maybe everything will be better by then and he can at least get a few reps in. I'm a little skeptical on that, but you know, nothing is decided at this point. But yeah, I would assume you would see a lot of Mason Rudolph, or necessarily a lot, but maybe an extra series of Mason Rudolph, but a lot more of Skylar Thompson. Maybe Logan Woodside gets in there for an extra series or so. now that he's, you know, been with the team for more than just a couple of days. So I think you're going to see a pretty similar distribution of reps from, you know, the guys who do end up starting the game down to the guys who are trying to make the roster.
As things move along here in the preseason, Chris, who, in your opinion, has kind of elevated themselves as far off the roster bubble, if possible? And is there anybody that has put themselves further deeper into the roster bubble as the preseason rolls here?
Well, it's funny, like watching, obviously, the receivers today, like it just, I'm trying to find a receiver that like could be possibly jumping off the page, you know, anybody who might be doing anything to possibly earn, maybe if they don't earn a spot on the practice squad, or like if they don't earn a spot on the roster, maybe it's on the practice squad, or maybe if the Steelers decide to keep a sixth receiver, like who could that guy be if another guy gets injured or something? And the guy, there's been a lot of talk about Mac Turleman and Rock Taylor. I honestly think Keyshawn Williams has done a lot of really good things, not just in the preseason game, but throughout training camp and throughout, you know, today's practice. I can't get into obviously specifics, you know, without any kind of verbal confirmation or anything. But I think he's been honestly probably the most impressive of all the guys that have been talked about. And then on the other side of things, I have a hard time seeing right now Beanie Bishop making the roster, just because you have your top four decided. You know, it's Ramsey, it's Slay, it's Porter, it's Eccles. And then you've got like this two spots for three guys between James Pierre, Corey Trice, Beanie Bishop. Well, James Pierre, Corey Trice both do multiple things. They play on the outside. They contribute on special teams. Beanie Bishop only plays in the slot. And they got Jalen Ramsey, who when everybody's healthy is going to be playing in the slot. And then when he moves to the outside, as what happened today, what Brandon Eccles confirmed today, Eccles is in the slot. You know, so now he's the second guy going into the slot. And so at this point, I have a hard time seeing Beanie Bishop earn a roster spot. Maybe the Steelers give up on Corey Trice because of the health issues. He's still got the hamstring injury, but it would not surprise me if Beanie's not on the 53 by August 27th.
Yeah, that's Chris Halleck, Steelers beat writer for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And you brought up, you know, Jalen Ramsey, and it was nice for, you know, to ask questions to guys that and get an outside perspective on the Steelers secondary, and former Ohio Stater and Bucks wide receiver Emeka Egbuka kind of talked about that with you guys today. You get the sense that, I mean, it obviously when you hear, you know, guys like Juan Thornhill and DK Metcalf talk about the Steelers defense and what it could accomplish, that's Steelers on Steelers, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. But like in that too, when you get an outside perspective from an opponent and what this defense can provide, does it give maybe the Steelers more confidence in really how good this defense potentially can be?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's like you said, it's one thing for Ramsey and these guys to do things in training camp practices. It's something else entirely to go into a joint practice and to leave an impression on a team that's most likely going to win its division, or at least the favorite to win its division. Granted, very weak division, but still a division champion favorite most likely. Listen, the Steelers are very, very confident in what they have with Ramsey and Slay and Porter. Like, the ability to man up against just about any team in the league. And if that plan comes to fruition, they will be able to then get after the quarterback more often, even if they don't blitz or even when they do blitz. If you can lock down coverage on the back end and give the pass rush an extra half a second, it's going to turn more like pressures into sacks and more. It's just going to create a lot more havoc, create more splash, which they're always talking about splash. I'm not trying to be like Jalen Ramsey. From what I saw in training camp, might be the most versatile weapon this defense has had since prime Troy Polamalu. Like, and mainly just because he can play in the slot, he can play on the outside, he can play safety, he can do a number of different things, and he can be dangerous in a lot of different areas, just like Polamalu used to do. It's going to be a really dangerous team, or a dangerous defense. It would not surprise me if Jalen Ramsey reasserts himself as like a top five cornerback in the league this year.
Last one for you, Chris. Cam Hayward, how does the situation end? When does it end, using your best judgment?
Best judgment is he will get that there will be a new contract, a restructured contract. Something is going to get done to make Cam Hayward happy, to end this hold-in so that he doesn't miss games, that he's committed. Something is going to get done at this point. Not exactly sure when, but it also wouldn't surprise me if this takes until the final, like literally week of heading into going to play the Jets for the season opener. Sometimes it takes that long. It took that long with T.J. Watt with his contract extension back in 2021. This might take that long. It's hard to say at this point, but I think ultimately it's just going to get done. The Steelers don't usually allow this kind of stuff to happen with a legacy player like Hayward. It's one thing for it to happen with somebody like Le'Veon Bell, who was definitely on his way to being a legacy player, but wasn't quite at this stage like Cam Hayward is, who's always been thought of and respected as a one-helmet guy. So I think they want to keep him a one-helmet guy and make him happy, and I think ultimately that's what's going to happen.
That's Chris Halleck. He covers the Steelers for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Chris, man, appreciate you. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
There he goes, Chris Halleck. You can check him out at dkpittsburghsports.com and on social media, X at Chris Halleck, H-A-L-I-C-K-E. Get ready to slay this school year at the 13th annual hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS back to school event, August 18th at Acrisure Stadium, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's presented by Target Freight Management, a drive-through for backpacks, school supplies, food and drinks while supplies last. And that's brought to you by GBU Life Insurance, annuities and member benefits since 1892, and Rugby Realty. 412-928-9370. The phone lines are back open. Ding, 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 ding. Send the hounds. You guys can flood the phone lines yet again on the Cam Hayward situation. Sound off at 412-928-9370. Coming up, that and more on the Fan Evening Show. We're with you until 1035. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7.